Exodus chapter 31, verses 12 through 18. This is the reading of God's word. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "But as for you, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, 'You shall surely observe my Sabbaths. For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Therefore you are to observe the Sabbath, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death. So the sons of Israel shall observe the Sabbath to celebrate the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day he ceased from labor and was refreshed. When he had finished speaking with him upon Mount Sinai, he gave Moses the two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written by the finger of God." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful time of hearing your word. We ask that you would bless all of us as we hear your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word. As we hear your word, let our faith grow and let us be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Through your word, let us see what our Lord has accomplished, so that we may rejoice and give you all the thanksgiving. Bless us and receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Last Lord's Day, we have come to the end of God's instructions on how to make the tabernacle of God. And in chapter 32, which we will start looking at next week, we are given the story of the golden calf. Here in our passage, right after all the instructions concerning the tabernacle are given, we have God's instruction to the Israelites to observe the Sabbath. We have already looked at the true meaning of the observance of the Sabbath, so I will not repeat that again here. They are to worship God, enjoy God, to have fellowship with God, look forward to the eternal rest in God. It is a call to be like God. It is to imitate our God, because God created the universe in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. That rest pointed to the eternal rest. The eternal rest, what is it? Eternally resting from this world and eternally resting from sin. God's redemptive purpose is to bring that eternal rest to his people forever. And we have already said that the building of the tabernacle is a picture of the new creation. Just like the first creation, what come after the creation? Well, after creation, the rest comes. So we have that same pattern in our chapter. After instruction on how to build the tabernacle, which points to the new creation, and then God's commandment to observe the Sabbath. The same thing after the new creation. That is what we see here. The eternal rest. The eternal rest of eternal fellowship with God. That is what heaven is all about. And brothers and sisters, we must never forget this. What happens when all of God's will for us is fulfilled? What happens when the history ends? For what purpose does all this history flow to? For what? Well, the eternal rest. Eternal rest of eternal fellowship with God. Eternal rest with God. The eternal fellowship with God, the eternal worship to our God, and that is the purpose of all things. Your life and my life are for the same purpose. You know, so many times we forget that there's God's purpose in everything. And all these things happen in this world, even today and tomorrow. But all that is happening so that this purpose of God will be fulfilled. And what is that? Well, this eternal rest. Our heavenly reality. We tend to think of our purpose in terms of who am I going to marry? Who am I going to, husband? Who's going to be my husband or who's going to be my wife? How are we going to raise our kids and where they're going to go to college, what kind of job they're going to get. But brothers and sisters, all those things are secondary. Really. Because when you go to heaven, you will realize all those things really didn't matter that much. See, when you stand before Jesus Christ, it really doesn't matter who your wife was or who your husband was or what kind of job you had or what kind of college you went to. Really, these things really does not matter. Now, am I saying then let's ignore the life here on earth? No. But whatever that you might be doing, do it for the purpose that God has for everything. Do it for His glory. And brothers and sisters, it's okay. You know, your husband might not be the best husband you wish. It's okay. Or your wife. It's okay. Or your children. It's okay. Maybe you're not making enough money for whatever you think that you need to have, or it's okay. Because the purpose of God, that is what matters. And everything is being fulfilled for that purpose, eternal rest. You and I, being with God and living with God forever and ever. This is the purpose of all things. Your life, my life, same thing. All of history flows for that same purpose. We are called to participate in the building of the true tabernacle before the eternal rest is visibly consummated. Brothers and sisters, let us not waste our lives building the Tower of Babel, but let us build the true tabernacle of our God. We tend to lose our focus on the true purpose that God has for us. The observance of the Lord's Day, the New Testament Sabbath, is important. Especially the corporate worship of God on this day. It reminds us of our true purpose. It reminds us of what everything is ultimately for. It reminds and confirms our purpose and God's purpose. It confirms to us that we are God's people who worship God now and forever. See, as you observe the Lord's Day and as we gather as His church to worship Him, it confirms to us that we are God's people who are on the journey to our eternal home. It reminds and confirms to us that this world is not everything, that there is another world. It confirms to us that there is the end to this world and the history of this world. The Lord's Day and this worship has that message. It reminds and confirms to us that we are the citizens of God's kingdom. It confirms to us that we are God's royal priesthood forever and ever, and our eternal job is to serve and worship our God. Because while Monday through maybe Friday or even Saturday, while you work at your work, you forget. You forget that your main job is to serve God. But on this day, as you observe it holy and you come to worship, it reminds you all of these things. It confirms to us that there is the eternal rest in God. It confirms to us that our Lord Jesus Christ is the King of the kingdom of God and that He is seated at the right hand of God to rule His kingdom. It confirms to us that our Lord has defeated once and for all our enemies, the last enemy, the death. It confirms to us that our Lord has been raised from the dead, and in Him we too are raised from the dead. Our spirit already and our bodies when Jesus returns. It confirms to us that all the wages of our sins are paid for and all our sins have been forgiven by God. This worship clearly proves it. Otherwise, we cannot worship God. He will not accept us. That our sins have been cleansed and forgiven. It confirms it. It confirms to us that all the wages of our sins are paid. It confirms to us that we are no longer slaves to sin. It confirms to us that we are no longer under God's wrath, no longer under God's curse, no longer God's condemnation and God's judgment. It confirms to us that our eternal salvation is completely and perfectly accomplished and fulfilled. It confirms to us that our work is not in vain. It confirms to us that for us it is no longer vanity of vanities. All is not vanities for us. It confirms to us that we are no longer slaves to this world and no longer slaves to the works of this world. It shows you that you're not slave to the works of the world. And that our purpose is not just to make money so we could eat and we could just live. No, there's the purpose. The eternal rest with God. Praising Him and worshiping Him and having fellowship with Him. It confirms to us that God is our delight and we are His delight. It confirms to us that we are God's people and He is our God. And it confirms to us that God is our Father and we are His holy and blameless sons. It confirms to us that we are now righteous in God's sight in Jesus Christ. It confirms to us that there is eternal sweet fellowship between God and us. It confirms to us that we are not the citizens of this world. We do not belong to this world. It confirms to us that Jesus Christ loves us now and loves us forever. As we observe the Lord's Day, as we gather to worship our God together as God's people, as we rest from sin and from the world and the affairs of the world, we confirm all of our heavenly realities and we witness our heavenly realities. We are here to celebrate all that our Lord Jesus Christ has already accomplished for us. We are here to worship our God and give Him all the glory. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Well, that was my first part of my sermon. In the book of Exodus, we see at least 6 times the command of God to observe the Sabbath. We find it in chapters 16, 20, 23, and our passage right now, what we're looking at, chapter 31, and chapter 34, and chapter 35. 6 times. This clearly shows us the importance of the Sabbath to God and to His people. You know, why would you repeat the same thing over and over unless it is important? Neglecting the Sabbath in the Old Testament was a great sin worthy of death, and it remains the same. You know, so many people misunderstand that somehow in the Old Testament, God was like angry God, and He just judges people. But when it comes to New Testament, God changed. All of a sudden, He's gracious God and He's loving God. How wrong they are. God never changes. He was always gracious. He was always loving. But He always punishes the sin. You know, in the Old Testament, if you commit adultery, then Moses and his people, they are to stone you to death. But in the New Testament, when you commit adultery, we will discipline you, but we're not going to stone you to death. And so some people think that, oh, maybe in the New Testament, adultery is not as bad sin as it used to be in the Old Testament. Wrong. It's still the same sin worthy of eternal death. So breaking the Sabbath is the same sin that we see in the Old Testament and is worthy of eternal death. Because neglecting it is to neglect what Jesus Christ accomplishes, all the heavenly realities that Jesus Christ accomplishes. You know, you have to really realize, in the beginning when I was growing up in this church, and this pastor had a posture of, you know, he would say to you, like, thank you for coming. I don't say that to you. Because to say that, I will be lying to you. You coming here I mean, let me put it this way. How dare you not come to worship God? And here the pastor thanking people that they come to God and worship. No, it's your life. It's something that you just do because of who you are. You must worship God. Because it's privilege. It's coming to enjoy what Christ has accomplished. That Christ has accomplished my relationship with God, that I don't have to fear God for eternal judgment anymore, but I'm so happy to have fellowship with Him. It is our privilege. It is the most blessed thing in our lives. We love to come and worship God, because not to do so is actually death to us. Think about it. If you are not worshiping when Jesus returns, it means eternal death. That's what it is. Verse 13, but as for you, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, you shall surely observe my Sabbath. For this is a sign between me and your throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. He says, God says, my Sabbath. And that is very important, because in the New Testament, it's Lord's Day. My day, He says. Not your day or my day, Young Kim's day, but Lord's Day. Which means that the Lord is the master and the owner of this day. He owns it. It implies the ownership of that day. You and I are His people. He owns us and we belong to Him. Jesus says this in Mark chapter 2, verse 27 to 28. Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is the Lord even of the Sabbath. It is made for man. But man is not the Lord of it. Lord Jesus Christ, He is the Lord over the Sabbath. God has made this day for His people. We are to use it according to His will to benefit us and bring glory to God. It is something that is so good for you. Spiritually speaking. Because worldly speaking, it might not be good for you, because you can't work, which means you cannot make more money. And on, I could give you all kinds of examples, but you get the point. It is something that is good for us. It is for our own benefit that we are to observe it wholly. And on this day, gather for worship of our God. Brothers and sisters, the Lord's Day is not to limit us. It's not about what we cannot do even though we want it. No, God loves you. And when He says not to do something, it's because He knows doing it will not be good for you. Just as all the trees of the Garden of Eden were okay to eat, only one tree was forbidden. Just like only one day is set apart for God and for corporate and personal worship of God. But sinners, even though God says you could enjoy all the trees in the Garden of Eden, but just one tree do not eat. But sinner,
think is limiting. Oh, God is limiting me. He doesn't want me to have this fruit. So complaining and grumbling and dissatisfaction comes. One day out of seven, God says to set it apart for him. One day. We witness as we observe the Lord's Day that God is our master and our owner. We are not to spend this day according to our sinful desires. Isaiah chapter 58 verse 13 through 14, because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call it Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor it. Desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure, and speaking your own word, when you will take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The same principle applies to the New Testament Lord's Day. On this day, you are to delight in God, and delight in God alone. You are not to seek your own pleasure. You are not to use it according to your own evil desires. Jesus owns it. He is the master of this day. But sinners, they don't like that, right? Oh, especially today. Especially young people, they hate authority. They hate obeying. And that is the description of the last days according to the Bible. Bible says when that day comes, that generation will disobey. Disobey their parents and disobey their God. If we do what our sinful minds desire, then we are certain we will seek the pleasure of this world. This is how we are. In verse 13, it says that the Sabbath is a sign between God and His people. It is a sign of God's covenant with His people, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you, God who set us apart from the world. With the Sabbath day, God sanctifies. God sets His people apart from the world. And even visibly, not perfect, but visibly, we could see that reality, how we have been set apart from the world. Do you see it? How we are not part of the world right now? Because the world, they just enjoy themselves in sinful ways, you know, watching TV, going to the theaters, I don't know, whatever they might be doing. But we delight in God. We devote ourselves to God. We devote ourselves in worshiping God and praising Him. We have been set apart. How can we show that we are truly God's people? And I think I gave you this example many times, but how can we show that we are Christians? And I'm sorry to be, sorry if any of you are doctors or want to be doctors, because I always use that example. But it's not just doctors, but I use that example. Some people think that in order for a doctor to show that he's Christian or she's Christian, what does that doctor have to do? Well, they say, oh, well, charge less. Be compassionate. Really love your patient. and so on and on. But I say to you that when you talk about being a Christian in those terms, I'm sorry, but you will always lose because there will be non-Christian doctor who will charge less than you and who will love the patient more than you and who will actually care for their patient. Non-Christian doctor could do those things. So you doing those things, and I'm not saying don't do it, please do, but by doing those things, you're not proving anything. You're not saying you're a Christian because Buddhist doctor will do the same and they will actually do better. How are you going to show that you are a Christian? Because if you talk about it in terms of morals, I will always tell you, non-Christian will do better. But non-Christian will never keep this Lord's Day holy. Never. They will never do that. I guarantee you. But we keep it holy. And we gather for worship of our God. This is how you show that you are Christian. Clearly showing people. Yes, tell your friends. If they invite you to do something out there in the world, you say, no, I can't. Today is Lord's Day. I cannot go out with you. That way you clearly show them who you are and what is your value. We have to show what God has said, we obey. Brothers and sisters, let me say it again. It is only by observing the Lord's Day holy and gathering for worship of God on that day to show that we are Christian. It says, observing Sabbath as a holy day is a sign of the covenant. By observing the Lord's Day, we witness that we are the members of God's new covenant. Not to observe means to reject the covenant of God. And of course, let us not be legalistic, and that is not the way of the Bible. There are God's people who must work on the Lord's Day, even though they truly desire not to, but there are some jobs that require you to work on Lord's Day. God understands that. Actually, God approves it. But God knows your heart. God sees your heart. So let me say this way. What if you are here? And as we worship God, that your heart is somewhere else. You really need to focus on God when we worship God. So, just because you're not working out there, but you're here, but your mind wanders off in the other things, is that okay then, just because you're here at church? No, it's still not okay. So, it's all about the heart. God sees your heart. Do you delight in God on this Lord's Day? Do you delight in His Sabbath? Verses 14 and 15, therefore you are to observe the Sabbath, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be surely put to death. The penalty for breaking this command of God is very severe. And let me draw your attention to Numbers chapter 15. Let me read this to you first before I talk about it.
Numbers 15, verses 32 through 36.
It says, "Now while the sons of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering wood on the Sabbath day. Those who found him gathering wood brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation, and they put him in custody because it had not been declared what should be done to him. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'The man shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp.' So all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him to death with stones, just as the Lord had commanded Moses."
Now, just imagine how really not popular to teach this kind of passage today.
Come on, God, are you serious? He was just gathering some wood.
You really need to realize how serious breaking this command is.
There's no leeway. God hates it. He truly hates it.
These verses clearly show how serious this sin is to God. They show how much God hates this sin. The Israelites were the slaves in Egypt. All they have done is work. Can you picture when Israelites were in Egypt? All they did was work, because they were slaves. The work of this world, work to build the towers of Babel in this world. There was no rest for them in Egypt. There was no Sabbath day for them in Egypt. They just worked and worked and worked. And it is a picture of hell. Why? Because hell is described as a place without rest. Revelation chapter 14, verse 11, "And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever." It's talking about hell. "And they have no rest day and night, those who worship the beast and his image, and whoever received the mark of his name." No rest. So that's how they were in Egypt. There was no rest. All work. But now they have been saved out of all that. If they were still in Egypt, then there is no rest for them. But they are saved out of Egypt. Just like you and I, we are saved out of this world. See, in Egypt, they are not able to enjoy the rest, even if they wanted to. But they have been saved out of all that, and how can they now, when God saves them out of Egypt, how can they now refuse to enjoy the rest that God has brought to them? Can you understand what it means for Israelites to refuse this rest? How about us? Are you refusing to enjoy the rest that God has brought to you? See, the message of the Lord's Day is the same. You and I, we were slaves of Satan and sin and this world. There were no true rest for us belonging to this world. But you and I are now saved out of all that. You and I have come out from this world. The Lord's Sabbath is given to us. The world will never enjoy the Lord's Sabbath. They will never obey God's commandment to observe the Lord's Day and keep it holy. But you have been set apart as God's people who now enjoy God and His eternal rest. We desire God and His kingdom. We witness who we are by observing the Lord's Day and God's holy day. The sinners of the Old Testament,
They did not enjoy God's Sabbath at all. They could not wait until it is over so that they could go out into the world and gain the worldly treasures. So when you read the prophets in the Old Testament, you have passages where they're just waiting for Sabbath to be over so they could make money. In fact, they did not delight in heaven and God who saved them out of this world. Their love was for this world. But brothers and sisters, you are different. You have been saved out of sin and Satan and this world in Jesus Christ. Jesus says to you and to me, he says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. He tells us the arrival of the eternal rest for God's people. He brings it. Jesus Christ witnessed the arrival of that eternal rest of God, the true rest of heaven. It is resting from sin and resting from Satan and resting from this sinful world. And that rest has come to us in Jesus Christ. And Lord's Day points to that rest. So if you do not enjoy the rest on this Lord's Day, and on rest, meaning resting from the world and the affairs of the world, resting from sin, I'm not talking about physical rest. So if you don't enjoy rest on this Lord's Day, why do you think you're going to enjoy heaven? Because it is all about rest. It's eternal rest. And brothers and sisters, Jesus is the one who said that you worship me only with your lips. He doesn't want that kind of worship. Our lives, how we live, clearly shows where our hearts are. We cannot fake that. And no, you could fake it for a while, but it will be revealed. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, there will be a day, eternal day, never-ending day when the eternal rest of God will be visibly consummated. That Lord's Day, that eternal Lord's Day, one day when Jesus comes, that day will never end. And the worship of God will never end. It is our joy to come and praise Him and worship Him, and serve Him. There's nothing else we'd rather do. So we join John in praying, come Lord Jesus, come quickly. As we worship on this holy day, this holy Lord's Day, we witness that eternal rest has already come for us and that it is our present heavenly spiritual reality. As we observe the Lord's Day as a holy day, we have the eternal message. And brothers and sisters, God doesn't beg you, but I do. Don't go out there and give the wrong message that for you, the Lord's Day doesn't matter. That for Christian, we could just do whatever we want and just we follow our evil desires rather than obeying God. I'm willing, and I hope you're willing too. Let us join together to show them what this day is all about. And who we are because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Next time your friend says, let's go somewhere, you say no. But don't just say no. You say no because it's Lord's Day. And I'm His covenant, one member of His covenant, and I want to obey God. Because God matters to me more than you who are asking this. You say to them, I love Him more than you. God matters to me more than you. And if you don't love God, then you say, ultimately, there's a problem loving you because you don't love God. It seems like we're fighting the losing battle. It seems like it, but it's not. God is winning. His true people will obey Him. And I pray that He will find those true people of God in this church. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for giving us Lord's Day. It is for our own good, but also it is a day we could obey You and bring glory and honor to You. Oh Father, let us show to the whole world that how we do not belong to the world. We don't live according to the patterns of this world, but we love You and we obey You. Oh Father, bless us that we may be able to witness to the whole world that our purpose is to be with You, our God, forever and ever in that holy place, that eternal rest that our Lord has already accomplished for us. Bless us that we may enjoy this day and that we may witness the eternal rest, the reality of that eternal rest, whomever cares to see us. We thank You, God, and we love You. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.